Country music legend Freddie Hart joins us via phone out in Burbank, California. Now 83 years old, but doing very well. Good to talk to you, Freddie. How are you?
Oh, well, I tell you, everything's wonderful, Michael. And I tell you, first of all, let me say, what a blessing to have you call me like this. I mean, really, I kind of miss y'all. Been a long time since I've been down that part of the country, you know?
How long has it been?
Well, I went back to, I made a show not too long ago back in Talladega. I had at the Ritz Theater there. I had on a Friday night and a Saturday night. I felt so good. I had two full houses, and everybody was just so wonderful, so very beautiful. They kind of spoiled me rotten, really, you know?
People here, yeah, we were talking before we came on with this segment that just about everybody claims you as kin. There's a lot of folks that know you, and there's a lot of third cousins around here. You grew up in Central Alabama over in Lochipoca and then over to Phenix City. Talk about the time when you grew up here.
Well, I tell you, I think Uncle Emmett, he's my uncle, and we call Emmett, we called her Aunt Rug. We did, you know, that's what we called her. That's my dad's sister was Aunt Rug, you know. When I was about 5 or 6 years old, I used to spend the night with him and go spend the day with him many times. And I think they lived around at the turnpike. Ruth was the oldest daughter, I think.
Well, there's some Segrists here, and your name is Segrist. But like a lot of artists, you know, you shook the name with Hart. What was brought about to bring that name as your stage name?
Well, what it came about back then when I started recording, on Capitol. I started recording in 1953 on Capitol Records, and my manager, well, I got with him, and his name was Steve Stebbins, but he said Segrist didn't sound musical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he wanted something that would look good on paper, that would sound good and musically, and everything like that. And his mother's maiden name was Hart, so he's the one to give me the name Hart.
Well, it rolls right off the tongue for sure. I think back those days when you were getting into the business. How did you get into the music industry?
Well, I was living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time, and I was working in the cotton mill there. And a guy I had known a couple of years before I moved down there, Wayne Rainey, he was the big guy, had a song called "Why Don't You Haul Off and Love Me One More Time." It was Wayne Rainey. It was his big song. And he knew Lester Frizzell. And so Lester Frizzell was in Phoenix, Arizona, playing at a ballroom there. And I found out where he was staying at, so I called him. And I told him about Wayne Rainey and a song that I had written that he wanted to record. Wayne Rainey told me that Lester wanted to record it, called a song called "Every Little Thing Rolled Into One," which George Morgan recorded. But I wrote the song. He said, "Come on up here." So I went up there and met him. And Lester Frizzell was one of the biggest artists in the business. And he was outstanding. He had a style of his own. And I don't know, a very, very likable person. And he took me down to where he was playing at. And after the show, he told me, would I go on the road with him? So I went on the road with him for about 2 years. And when I come back in 1953, he put me on Capitol Records.
And you've got a lot of hits. Obviously, the one that everybody knows is "Easy Lovin'," but there's so many more. And when did you really hit the big time? Was that when you finally would say that you were a household name, Freddie Hart?
I wrote the song in 1970, and it struck gold in 1971, "Easy Lovin'" did. But I had some hits before then, but not the one you really dream about, you know, that really breaks you into the business, you know. I had "Keys in the Mailbox," "In the Line Again." I had a song called "Hank Williams Guitar," and had a song reached number four in the Billboard called "The Wall," which is a prison song, you know, about somebody in prison wanting to get out. You know, I mean, I forget how many songs I've recorded. Been so many. I've had I forget how many albums, but I guess you know better than I would, my good friend.
You've got a bunch. We'll talk about "Easy Loving" when it finally hit the big time and number one song for you, and what it was like. How did that change your life?
Well, I had been recording so long. I was used to people. A song is very real to me, Michael. it's people put to music. You know, I love to write, and I've written songs for just about every artist in Nashville that's recorded. Most of them in Nashville recorded my songs, and I wrote most of the songs I've recorded. I've written 11 number ones in my life, and all that. But Easy Lovin', I got the idea when I wrote that song. I wanted to write something that every man would like to say, maybe, and every woman would like to hear. Now, I didn't know it was going to be that way when I wrote it, but it turned out that way. And they tell me now it's sold a little over 10 million in all.
Wow.
And everywhere, completely. I was so proud of that, my goodness. That, what a blessing. That's a song that really, you know, brought me into the business real big, like, you know.
It was such a popular song that it not only was the song of the year in 71, but it was in 72, and that's just about unheard of.
Well, Michael, they said that was the first song that would do that. Really, they said it was the first one that would do that in history, that song. And it also had a line in there, but I was very scared of them, but I'm glad I left it in there. So sexy looking, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it would pass, you know. I didn't know what to do at that time. But I left it in there and recorded it, and I'm thankful I did. It was not just the first song to be Song of the Year 2 years running, but also the song that had two Grammy nominations also. Well, Ralph Emery told me that it was the first song to ever have sex in it, you know. But I want to make it a pretty thing, you know. And it come out that way.
Well, it's no doubt your signature tune. Is it your favorite song that you've ever done?
No, I don't know. I got these other songs I like, you know, I recorded that I like as well. I mean, yeah, I got to be thankful for that, which I am, you know, because it was a dream of mine come true. And a song called The Warm Side of You, and songs like that, Warm Side of You and Trip to Heaven. I don't know. I just don't know which is a favorite. I think that Warm Side of You is a pretty love song and things.
You've got a real following still here. And my father, who met you back at the disc jockey convention in the early 70s, said you were a genuine guy, and I could see that. And he said we probably played the song Easy Loving 1,000 times. And he wasn't exaggerating either. I'd like to put that up against any station.
Seems like I remember in Nashville.
Yeah, Steve Butler.
He sounds awful familiar to me. Believe me, he really does.
Yeah, well, he told me that there's some stories in your background. One is you had a black belt in karate. Is that true?
Yeah. I hold the fourth degree. And when I was in service, you know, I done some of that. And some when I got out, too. Just a form of just learning to take care of yourself. And it's a health thing, too, for your mind as well as your body and things like that. And it's really helped me, you know, and everything. Yeah. I don't care for fighting. I know how, but it's too much hurt in the world already for me to do any more.
Yeah, talk about your time in the service, because I know I've seen another story that, and this, I'm sure this is accurate, that you joined the service really before you were of age. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I told a big one, my friend. I really did. I lied. I really did. My mother and dad signed for me, though, to go in, and I went in just before I was 15.
Wow.
And I made Guam and Iwo Jima. Come back, well, no hurt at all, you know. Then I kind of hit the road. My dream all my life, I've wanted to be on the Grand Ole Opry, you know. And that's what I've always dreamed about it, you know. And as long as I can remember, I've always wanted to do that, be in the music field, to be a singer like Roy Cove and Ernest Tubbs and Eddie Young, all those people. I sang all their songs. When I was out in the cotton field sometime, out in the cornfield or wherever that, I'd get up on a rock sometime or on a stump or something, and I'd say, "Ladies and gentlemen, here's a brand new star on the Grand Ole Opry." And I'd call myself different names, you know, and I'd sing one of Roy Cove's songs, one of Ernest Tubbs or somebody's song. You know. I just daydreamed all the time about being in the business, and it came true, you know. I think God has plans for me. I really do to do things like that, and that's why I want to, you know, really reach out in a big way for Him, you know, and try to get as close as I can to the Lord, you know. And when I record and when I write, when I'm writing, I feel like it's my way, I guess, of ministering, you know, gospel songs and things, you know, and treating people like you want to be treated, you know. And when I entertain, I try to put the people that I'm singing to about a foot higher than me. And that way I can go out and put my arms around all of them. And I got long arms, too, by the way. and that's where it's always been with me. It's easy for me to meet people, you know. And I love real people. I really do. Down there with people. And I tell you, you got some down there people right there where you're at, my friend. They are good people.
Do you perform much anymore?
Not too much. Special things, you know, I do. It's just special things. I just want to keep my foot in the door, you know, into the business. But I got people want to put me a book behind some gospel things. And, Michael, that's what I want to do. I really do. And now, when I'm on my shows, like, I do country things. I mean, but I have special songs that I sing. I'm not ashamed of them at all. I'm real proud of what I'm singing. But I also always, when I record, I mean, when I sing in my concerts, I never go without singing three or four gospel songs, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, I won't go out and entertain nobody without doing some of my gospel things. That's something I just do, you know. People seem to want me to do that.
Do you ever get tired of doing Easy Loving? I mean, we said we played it 1,000 times. I know you performed it probably 10,000 times or more.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I still love this song. I really do if I did write it, you know.
You had quite a follow-up to that song. My Hang Up Is You actually was on the chart at number one longer than Easy Loving. You know, 6 straight weeks.
Well, I'm a dog. I didn't know that, Michael. But I know it's a big record. It really was. I'm real proud of that. I got awards, which is, you say, the treasure of the earth. Yeah, I got about every award country music has to offer and everything. And now it's been a blessing to me all of them, and I take it that way because that's what it is. And people tell me, why don't you never change, Freddie? Well, if they take me like I am now, it's easy to be what you are, you know. And if you try to pretend something you ain't, you people sooner or later will see through it, you know.
True.
I just love real people, man. Like yourself, Michael. You can tell by talking to you. You are real, you know?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you can tell that by talking to people. You really can.
Do you still listen to country music or any particular type of music other than gospel? I know you're a gospel fan.
Well, I love country music. I still do. But it seems like it's lost a lot of its heart, you know? It lost a lot of its caring. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that on the stage as much like I used to. The closeness.
I understand, yeah.
That we used to have and everything. The caring for each other, and I don't know, it's just, some people don't even go out and sign autographs. They shouldn't even be in the business. They really shouldn't. They don't deserve it. Now, the people, and people like yourself, make us what we are. And that's, you really do. Without you and the wonderful folks out there that listen to our music and request our songs and come and see us, we couldn't have our dream come true. We couldn't be a star without them. They made my dream come true, and that's the least I can do is say thank you and God bless you, I mean, to each and every one of them, you know.
What, are you running a publishing company, is that correct?
Well, I have a publishing company. It's called Heartline, but, you know, I do other things, too. I've got, my job is an elder, you know, to go out and see people in the convalescent homes and the hospitals, and if they want to pray, we pray together. I feel like I'm doing good there. You know, I feel good when I'm there with them, you know, in the convalescent homes and things like that. The people who really need somebody to talk to. You know, sometimes you go into the hospital or in a convalescent home, they say, well, you know, says my family don't even come and see me no more. I said, well, maybe they just suck up, they ain't got time to come. She said, well, they should come and see me once in a while, you know. Well, I have heard people say that in the hospitals and also in the convalescent home, and that's sad. When I go there, I sit and talk to them, let them do the, you know, let them talk and tell me their troubles or what if it might be, and they want to pray with me. We pray together, you know, and I feel good doing that. And I try to take people to markets if they want to ride and go in the church or things like that, you know. And that is my job as an elder in the church. I'm also one of the treasures in the church, but my main thing is is called for caring for the for people like that.
Freddie, it's been a real pleasure for me. Thanks for your time.
Michael, thank you for being so wonderful. And tell everybody out there I love them, and tell them I got long arms. If they ever get the chance to see them, I'd be proud to put it around them, okay?
We'll do that, Freddie. Thank you so much.
You too, Michael.
Okay, take care.
God bless, boy.
Freddie Hart. To learn more about his latest gospel music, go to his website, MrEasyLoving.com.